Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I'd like to consider with you this morning as we conclude our Vacation Bible School is that theme verse from John chapter 3, verse 16, which you probably know by heart very well. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has showed us the depth of his love, dear fellow redeemed. Back a number of years ago, I guess I was in grade school at the time, there was a game which was very popular, a series of booklets which came out which were entitled Mad Libs. Some of you probably remember those books. I think there's a card game today still by that title of Mad Libs. And the intention of those books is that you're going to create very humorous stories by supplying verbs and adjectives and nouns as to fill in the blanks in those stories. But another purpose which the authors of those books had, of course, was to teach forms of English grammar. And so there was a definite purpose behind those Mad Lib books. I'm going to play that game somewhat with you this morning and talk about that game with you. But in order to do that, in order to begin, I need to have someone in the congregation offer me a verb. Anyone? Go ahead.
Love.
Love? Yes. I need an adjective. Somebody want to give me an adjective? Don't be shy, we can be here all day otherwise.
Big.
Big, okay. So we have the verb loved and the adjective big. And so the sentence goes like this. The children loved along the big road. Make sense? Not a great deal, right? But that's the object of Mad Libs. It's to make strange sentences, which sometimes are very humorous. And when you do that throughout an entire story, it can become rather ridiculous. Hold on to that thought for a second. Turn your attention now to John chapter 3, verse 16, the gospel in a nutshell verse. As I said to the kids, that verse is probably the most well-known Bible verse of any of the verses of Scripture, and for good reason. And it simply says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The gospel in a nutshell. Because Jesus' words there sum up so simply the good news message of salvation that we find in Holy Scripture. And I think most of you, if not all of you, can say that verse from memory. Today we're going to take a look at those words a little more closely. And we're going to do it in light of that game, Mad Libs. And here's what I mean. If you boil down that first phrase in John chapter 3, verse 16, to its most basic structure, you see it is a noun, a verb, and then another noun. God loved the world. It's a subject, a verb, an action word, and then a direct object. God loved the world. Think about the verb which you find there. Loved. Is that the verb which you would have expected to find as a description of God's attitude toward the world? Or is this a game of Mad Libs which has gone wrong? I'm going to suggest to you this morning that that is not the verb which you and I ought to anticipate finding in that verse. It is a surprising word to see the word loved there. Because when you look at the story of Scripture and what the Bible teaches regarding our relationship with God, it all starts out there in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the story of creation. The story of how God, through his miraculous word, simply spoke the word and things came into existence, things came into being. And at each of the days of creation, at each of the end of the days of creation, it says God looked at what he had created and it was good. And we finally get to the sixth day of creation and God looked at what he had created, all that he had created, and it was very good. This was a perfect, sinless world at the end of creation. And God had done a very beautiful and amazing and miraculous job of bringing this universe into existence. But then, we know what happened. We go on to Genesis chapter 3, and we see that all of that beautiful creation ended up being marred and destroyed by sin. Because our first parents, Adam and Eve, willfully chose to disobey God's command and to pursue their own will and their own way for life rather than following God's will and God's way. And as a result of that, this world, this beautiful world, became infected by sin, and the beauty of God's creation was destroyed. And now, as a result of sin coming into the world because Adam and Eve succumbed to the tempter's voice, we see that the world from that time on has been living in constant rebellion against God. And that means that you and I, because we are part of this world, also live in rebellion against God. You can't deny it. We can't deny that there are times when we have put our trust in money, or in family, or in work, more than we have trusted God. We can't deny that we have failed to use our time, our talents, and our treasures in the way in which God wants us to use them, to praise and honor Him, and to serve our fellow man. We can't deny that we have at times despised authority, whether it's authority in the home, at work, in the school, at church, at the office, wherever it might be. We can't deny that there have been times in our lives where we have just plain hated other people in our hearts instead of showing them love and concern. And we cannot deny that there have been times where we have spoken ill of other people rather than standing up to defend them against the accusations of others. I can't deny that. And I know that you can't deny it either. These and many more are examples of my sins, my act of rebellion against the God who created me. And there are many ways in which you could pick up the ball now and you could describe ways in which you, too, have turned your back on the will of God and have lived in open rebellion against Him. And so, you see what I mean when we come to that verb, God so loved the world, that seems rather out of place there, doesn't it? Because loved is not the word which you would expect to see there. You would expect to see the word, God was frustrated with this world He had created. Or God hated this world that He had created because it had turned His back on Him. Or God wanted to destroy this world that He had created. But it doesn't. It says God so loved the world. Not the word you and I would expect to see at all. And how did God show that love to this world? As you read on in the pages of Scripture, right after Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, God is there with that gracious promise that He would put enmity between the devil and the woman and between her seed and the devil's seed. And that seed of the woman who would be born would crush Satan's head. He would destroy Satan's power. That was the very first promise of a Savior given there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And God kept that promise of a Savior alive down through the centuries. He came to Abraham and He told him that Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and that He would give Abraham a new land and that from Abraham's descendants all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He carried forth that promise of a Savior, carrying it on to King David and to others all throughout the Old Testament until finally that promise reached its fulfillment in the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger. You see, the story of God's love can be summarized in one word, and that word is grace. God's undeserved love for us sinners. You and I don't deserve to have God show us this love. We have lived in open rebellion against Him and continue to live in open rebellion against Him day after day. And yet God loves us. And in his undeserved love for us, he provided that Savior, Jesus, who lived our life, died our death, and rose again triumphantly from the grave to assure us that forgiveness, life, and salvation are ours. God so loved the world. And then we can move on in that verse to the next phrase. There's another surprising Mad Lib verb in the second phrase of John chapter 3, verse 16. The Father didn't just show his love to the world. The Father didn't just send his Son into the world. No, Christ says in John 3, 16, the Father gave his Son for the world. He gave his Son into death on that cross of Calvary so that this world might have eternal life. He kept that word that he had promised to Adam and Eve, to King David, to Abraham, and to others throughout the Old Testament. Jesus came and performed that miraculous mission of rescuing us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That was summed up so beautifully in the words, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And look again. There in that third clause is another surprising Mad Lib word. It's not whoever does enough for God gets this gift. It's not whoever loves God enough in return gets this gift. No, it simply says whoever believes in him. Whoever puts his trust and confidence in Jesus Christ as his Savior has all of the blessings that the Savior came to provide for him. You don't earn this gift from God. It's a gift. And faith is the receiving tool. Faith is the bag, if you can picture a bag, an open bag. Faith is the open bag into which God places all of the blessings which he has to offer us. The gift of faith, the gift of his love, the gift of comfort and peace and security, and the knowledge of sins forgiven, and the knowledge that we have an eternal home which our Savior has gone to prepare for us there in heaven. And that's why when you and I come here to worship on Sunday morning, or whenever we sit down in our own private devotions and open God's book, the Bible, and read from it, we are opening God's bag of gifts to us. And we are filled with blessings more than we can ever count. You hear God's word preached. You read and study it in the privacy of your home, and his blessings are placed into your bag of faith. Through the sacrament of holy baptism, young children, and sometimes adults, are brought to faith and trust in him as their Savior and receive the promise of forgiveness and eternal life, that they are heirs of eternal life in heaven because they are the Heavenly Father's children. You come to the Lord's table and you receive the very body and blood which he gave into death for your sins to assure you that those sins have been forgiven. That is what faith is. It is the open bag where God places all of his blessings, all of his gifts for you. You know, that's the amazing thing about faith, isn't it? By faith, God takes that miraculous mission that he has accomplished for this world and the entire world with its billions of people, and he takes that gift and he gives it to you. You are a recipient of God's gift of salvation. There is no sin which you have committed which is so great that Jesus has not forgiven it. There is no sin which is so small that Jesus forgot to suffer and die for it. No, the Savior has forgiven you completely. His forgiveness is spoken to you again and again through the pages of Scripture. All of that is so beautifully summarized for us in that gospel in a nutshell verse from John 3:16. Say it together with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's amazing mission. He came to save the world. He accomplished that mission. And the blessings of that mission are now ours. That was God's gracious surprise to you and to me and to the entire world. Thank God for it. Amen.